Ladies and gentlemen.
Their GMs calling me going, he doesn't watch tape.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Zero.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Eric Bieniemy tells you what time it is.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Eric Bieniemy is who he is. Eric Bieniemy is a tough, hard-nosed coach, but I'm also their number one fan.
Earlier on the show, Falcons quarterback Desmond Ridder. Still to come, Saints safety Tyrann Mathieu. Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. Wrexham AFC striker Paul Mullen. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of our show on the air, live on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs. It is free on Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. Every single day, you can check us out right there. And if you want to see what we do as well, our Reels game is up and at 'em on our Instagram page, at Rich Eisen Show. Same thing on our TikTok page, at Rich Eisen Show. We're up and at 'em on our Facebook page, and every single day, on Twitter, you betcha, at Rich Eisen Show. That one was just for you, Chris Brockman. So not only because you post our videos on Twitter, but I'm calling it Twitter.
Because that's what it is, Rich.
I will never refresh my phone. It'll be insane. You know?
Never. Never. Don't update your app if you haven't. Keep the blue bird.
Well, that's not going to last very long, is it, Chris? At some point.
Well, because I'm desperately in need of a new phone. And then when I get the new phone, it's just going to automatically be there.
When did you give up your flip phone, Mike? How long ago did you have your flip phone?
Were you early on the iPhone?
Were you early on that? Of course Mike's early
you
on
know
that.
What I've done
Mike,
Apple.
Mike has Apple.
I was in Apple, please.
Are you kidding me? The Apple. He had Apple stock when it was 1 cent.
When
it's a penny stock.
It was literally.
You bought it from Jordan Belfort.
But going back, yeah, flip phone. I haven't had a flip phone, and I can't even tell you when.
Okay.
The Razor.
The Razor? You had a Razor.
Of course, I had a Razor fitting in the first car. One of the first cars.
The Wolf of Pico Boulevard, right over there.
Well, it was the Santa Monica Boulevard back then.
How are you, TJ? What's going on over there, brother? How are you?
You know, just admiring Mike Del Tufo.
I admire him as well.
Crazy life.
I do. You have everything ready. Don't worry.
I'm just sad. Like, where I was on vacation is on fire right now.
Where's that?
In Maui, Hawaii.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, literally, right where I was
sending my
best. Very bad fire.
Oh, gosh.
My heart goes out to the people of Maui.
Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for bringing that up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Tyrann Mathieu calling in shortly. Just said goodbye to Desmond Ridder. Charles Woodson's going to join us top of the third hour. We'll talk a little college football with him. And wonder what he thinks of the Big 20 that's coming at some point.
I mean, that's coming.
I'm so confused by it. I'm going to have to, like, seriously just take a crash course on these new conferences.
Well, get ready because Cal and Stanford are about to be in the Atlantic
ACC?
Coast Conference.
Yeah. The Pacific Coast teams will be in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Pac-4.
Do you think the airlines are behind this because they know all the, like, they're going to have to use their planes?
Hey, it'll
this
be down to Pac-2.
It might be Pac-2. Yeah. It's going to be like
Tupac.
Tupac. All eyes on
Pac
them.
Plus.
All eyes on Pac 2.
All eyes on Pac.
Get good odds on the winner next year.
I was just kidding.
Pac 2. It's a coin flip. We shouldn't laugh.
Our ambitions as a conference.
We shouldn't laugh.
No.
I mean, they're going to just merge with the Mountain West, right? And it's just going
to
be.
I hope so.
They have to.
I hope so.
Rebranded.
Man, oh, man. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Justin in North Carolina. Let's take your phone call right here on the program. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Rich. What's going on?
What do you got for me, Justin? What do you have?
Well, Rich, down here in Spartanburg, just wrapped up joint Jets-Panthers training camp. You let our friend T.J. Jefferson know that it is way more interesting than a Taylor Swift concert.
Okay. Okay.
In case he was wondering.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to see Rodgers do his thing. They wrapped up with some nice 11-on-11 full team drills. First drill was Bryce Young leading the Panthers down for a field goal, and then the second drill was Rodgers, and it was a 3-and-out. The third drill was Andy Dalton leading the Panthers for a field goal, and the fourth was Zach Wilson driving the Jets, and that one ended on a beautiful pass to Von Bell. So the good news is that you have Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on a second. So, are you saying, because this is, by the way, how great is this?
This is
Justin giving us the inside training camp, Rich Eisen Show, ITC, as they refer to it, and back in my other shop.
That's right.
So you're saying two field goals, one from Bryce Young, one from Andy Dalton, a three and out from Rodgers, and then an interception by Zach Wilson. Final score, 6-0. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So the Jets are in the crapper right now, based on the over.
When they were doing the individual 11 on 11s, every completion I saw, I mean, every time I saw Rodgers throw the ball, it looked like a completion.
Mm.
So,
did you see the Hard Knocks cameras?
Yes, I did. I saw the Hard Knocks cameras. I saw the crew with the Hard Knocks on the back of their shirts.
Okay, very good.
Looked like the cameras had a nice shot of Rodgers meeting with all the guys in the red jerseys before training camp started. So and there was a boom mic over him, so I'm real interested in what words of wisdom he had for my young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess his words of wisdom are like, you're lucky you get to play game one. I had to wait 3 years, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And,
okay.
You're lucky you have an offensive line.
Well, look, man, I appreciate the update. That's that was an unexpected Justin inside training camp.
Nice.
You want to overreact to it? What's your overreaction? You heard it was a field goal for Bryce Young against the Jets defense that Bent did not break. That's Rodgers good. Didn't even get a first down.
That's what I mean.
Points and then Andy board. Dalton maybe shows you it's a system quarterback for Bryce Young because he got three. How's that for an overreaction?
Panthers are winning the South.
That's right. And Zach Wilson's going to get cut. He's going to get cut. He's useless. He's useless.
Zach Wilson will be on the 49ers in 2 years. And Jets missed the playoffs.
No, can I tell you why Zach Wilson's not going to be in the 49ers in 2 years? Because Kirk Cousins is going to be their starting quarterback.
Well, as you remember, Rich, as Mike Florio pointed out a couple weeks ago, we're going to have a Cousins tug of war between McVay and Shanahan. McVay wins. So Shanahan's going to have a spot open.
Well, it's obvious that he's, if you want to overreact to stuff too, he will be available. You hear Mark Wilf of the Minnesota Vikings brass? Talking about Kirk Cousins and his future, because, as you know, the star of quarterbacks, one of, is in the old contract year.
Mm.
Check it out.
Well, we feel great about the quarterback situation. Kirk's an outstanding leader. He's led this team incredibly these past few years, and we're looking for great things for him in 2023. And I know there's discussions all the time on all these topics, especially quarterback. And I know Kwesi and Coach are always communicating with Kirk and everybody, but we're real happy to have him lead our team. We'll leave that to Kwesi and Coach to work through those discussions. There's always conversations on that, but our real focus is 100% on 2023 and getting where we need to be and where I know we can be.
So nothing.
That's a big nothing burger. A lot of words. Okay.
Kirk Cousins, 2024 team, Minnesota, the field. You take?
Oh, field.
The field?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, the field. Let's break down the field. AFC or NFC?
Oh, there's not a lot.
AFC or NFC?
There's not a lot of spots in the AFC for QBs. I'll say NFC.
I'll say NFC too.
I agree.
NFC West or the field?
NFC West.
Okay. Okay. Because you know it's not Arizona.
No, it's San Francisco or the Rams, depending on how Stetson Bennett looks.
Business, again, we had Andrew Whitworth here. The sense of Matthew Stafford is he's toast. Last year showed you he's toast, and he doesn't want to do it anymore. Like he's made enough. He's got his ring. He lives in Los Angeles. He's staring at the Pacific Coast.
Football in months.
Dude, that is the sense of Matthew Stafford, and I cannot wait to see him come out and just show everybody he's still Matthew freaking Stafford.
That would be awesome.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It seems unlikely.
But that is the narrative about Matthew Stafford. And they are not, the Niners are not getting Kirk Cousins if Purdy shows that he can do it again. Over. That means they've got two more years of contractual control on a seventh round contract when they got to pay everybody else who is incredibly talented.
I get it.
Are they going to pay? Honestly, we need to look this up. The highest paid Minnesota Twin and highest paid Minnesota Timberwolf.
Well, we know Carl Anthony Towns makes a ton of money.
Like, is it more than Cousins? Anthony Towns make $35 million a year, $40 million bucks a year?
Yeah, he makes way more than that.
Okay.
Carl Anthony makes 32.
Okay, but Cousins beats him, I believe.
Let's see. Oh, no, you're right. Towns is at, 34 for this year.
Okay, and what is Cousins at this year? Look it up.
Cousins.
And Correa is 32, right? He's the highest paid twin.
Cousins is at 35 for this year.
Dude, a quarterback in the NFL is the is paid like an NBA player and a major league all-star, which Correa, you know,
was.
People might push. Got it.
Was.
Come on now. So that's why he'll take less. Daniel Jones just got $40 million on the market. Cousins, wherever he goes, is going to get $40 million because he's going to ball out with Justin Jefferson. Again, that's if the Minnesota Vikings don't just keep him.
And I know you love Brock Purdy, and it was a cool 5-game run.
Okay.
But Kirk Cousins is so much better than Brock Purdy, it's not even funny.
Okay. Here we go. Brock Purdy's going to start for the San Francisco 49ers.
And that's fine. Is he going to finish?
I think he will finish, and I think you're going to show – we're going to have a different conversation about Brock Purdy at the end.
You think he's better than Kirk Cousins?
I think he is a better – choice than Kirk Cousins, yes.
Only because of financials.
Damn Skippy.
Doesn't mean he's a better player.
Guess what? If he can get you to where you want to go and cost you like that, and you can pay the rest of the team for 2 more years or another year, I imagine, if he balls out and takes him to the Super Bowl this year or close enough and then does something similar to that in year 3, he'll have to get paid. And they'll lock him up. And they'll make sure he's happy and live happily ever after with him there.
Cousins
will have to find somewhere else to go.
I will be very surprised if Brock Purdy is the 49ers starting quarterback in 2024.
Well, guess what? I'll be the one around the corner with the cake when you're least expecting it.
And just to clarify, Correa is making 33.333.
So, again, million. Cousins is getting paid like a Cy Young pitcher in Major League Baseball. All guaranteed. So Cousins may not go in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he's going in Andrew Brandt's Business Hall of Fame. He'd already be there.
Yeah.
No doubt. Also, Rich just said he's got Steve Aoki made. Did you guys notice that?
What? Throwing
with the cake?
Yeah. Throw a cake in
there. I don't understand.
So let me ask you guys, what means more, right? Winning trophies or getting that much money? Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people will tell you Kirk Cousins is a winner because his bank account says so.
Speaking of Minnesota, let's take this phone call from Ethan in Minnesota. I think he's been trying to ask me this question for a while. We'll get this one in here before Tyrann Mathieu joins us. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
I'm fine. What's going on with you?
I was calling because you saw the Messi free kick from a few nights ago, right?
I did, sir. Yes, sir.
Unreal. It's great for any league to have the greatest of all time playing at the time in their league, right?
Correct.
The culture of American soccer has been terrible my entire life as someone who's grown up on the sport. But I'm starting to see a shift with Messi and the coverage of it. And I know that Beckham did it years ago. But I'm just thinking, obviously right now, that 20, 30 years down the road, do you guys think that the MLS could be bigger than the NHL or the MLB one day?
I don't know. I mean, how old are you, Ethan?
I'm 21, Rich.
Okay, so then it's on you, man. It's literally is on you and everyone your age to decide whether that's going to be the case 20-some-odd years ago. I'm still somebody that won't watch something on my phone because I would rather watch it on something on television. So I'm the wrong guy that you're asking. I doubt it. I got to be honest with you. It just depends. Again, let me ask you this question, Ethan. You know, let's just say Messi was in Minnesota. Let's just say that, right? Like in your area. Would you be locked in and following him once the Viking season starts?
I'd be a season ticket holder over that any day of the week.
You would go to Minnesota FC. Sorry, I know I'm probably botching it. And then instead of going to watch Justin Jefferson, you'd rather see Messi rather than Justin Jefferson.
1,000%. I'd say the same thing if I grew up in Germany and Tom Brady came and played for the Swashbuckling Unicorns in the German Arena Football League. I'm seeing the GOAT any day of the week.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ethan. Greatly appreciate it. What do you think?
Well, does he even know Brady is the GOAT, though? So he could.
No, that's what he's saying. Yeah. He would see the GOAT over somebody, you know, that's over anybody that's playing at Bayern Munich if he was living in Germany. I think that's what he was saying.
He was saying he would go watch Messi as the GOAT over.
That's what he's saying. He would prefer to see the GOAT coming to his town.
I was saying Brady is also the GOAT. So.
Right, which is why he's saying he would watch Brady in some team that isn't, you know, the main show in town.
which the Minnesota Vikings are. That's the one I took him to.
I've done a ton of soccer. It's amazing. I mean, soccer live is insane.
I get it.
People should be going.
See, it's awesome.
He's been there.
I know that.
But it's, TJ, you went too, right?
No.
But in terms of becoming bigger,
more popular than Major League Baseball? It's
like,
I
mean,
I don't think
if I gave you tickets to a Dodger game or an LAFC game, which one would you choose?
I guess it depends who's pitching.
But I guess if Messi's coming out, when is Messi coming to LAFC?
Oh, it's going
to
be
when is that happening? Wasn't he just up in San Francisco?
Well, these are
the Legends Cup is going on right now.
Yeah, Legends is different than actual.
That's different than the actual the actual league itself.
Okay.
That's going on right now. That's LAFC's doing well right now.
It's not till September. Well, actually that's in Miami.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Like I would
September 3rd.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Labor Day weekend?
Oh yeah, sign me up.
Okay.
What day?
Let's see. Hold on.
See, I would definitely see Messi in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, but not over, you know, going to a
Yankees are doing real well.
Yes.
Yankees are playing the Dodgers.
Messi's coming. Yankees or Dodgers? I would go to Yankees and Dodgers, but not over if Messi played here.
That's what I'm saying. They're playing the regular game. Messi comes in.
I definitely do. There is an interesting aspect of Messi, but what he's talking about is that there be enough players and MLS good enough where the actual action would be something that would rival my eyeball or my dollar and cent to go check out over Major League Baseball. Not for me, but again, I'm a different cat.
Cheapest ticket for Inter Miami and LAFC on September 3rd, $700. That's without fees.
And you know, I referred to myself as a cat with Major League Baseball. You know what? I did that because last time I went to a game, I learned
Chero
that there's a specific cat treat that's number one in Japan.
Should I order a box of Chero for us? Just
there
in the
it is. Thanks to Ohtani. By the way, tonight.
I'm ordering one right now.
Chero that's for it. Everybody. Ohtani's pitching tonight.
Yeah, that's it. I'm getting Chero.
Here we go.
Going back down. Coop want to go back down?
Oh, yeah. Just so he could see that sign.
And the cologne.
He just loved that. He's just like, Dad, what's with the cat treat? Honestly.
By the way, when I saw that on the green screen behind home plate, I lost it in the truck. I'm like, that's the cat.
All right, let's take a break. Tyron Matthew will be like, why were you late? Because we were talking about Japan's number one cat treat, Tyron. Tyron Matthew of the Saints next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
All right, Christopher, you just received an email that is highly important.
Oh,
uh-oh.
Because I received the same email.
All right.
Did I get it?
From
Joe Latrulio.
Yes, that's what was going to be my guess.
TJ, are you ready? Because you didn't get it because you are not the team's email representative.
We split a team last year.
It is time. Obviously. For the, what is it called? Is it a best ball? Is that what it is?
It's best ball. So you just pick a team and then it automatically takes your highest scores. Wait, is the draft starting? Is that what we're
doing? Well, the draft doesn't start until everybody opts in.
8 hours between picks.
And there's 8 hours between
picks.
What
are we doing?
And when you choose somebody, they're yours for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
No.
Now, I'm going to push back here. Like, we shouldn't start until Dalvin Cook gets signed. I mean, like, this is too early. Fantasy football.
This is way too early.
You best draft late. Because right, when is Dalvin going to sign?
Yeah.
When is Zeke going to sign?
Kareem Hunt signed till week. Kareem Hunt
visited the Saints, but he didn't sign there, right?
It was yesterday. The report was expected to sign with Anthony Barr.
Do we get Tyrann Mathieu to break news return here?
I'm
the radio
that
audience returns shortly
meet with the Colts today.
Oh, so Kareem Hunt did not.
Kareem Hunt visited the Colts.
On the ticker here that Kareem Hunt to meet with the Colts.
Oh, okay,
today.
Well, I mean he's. I mean, running backs are taking their time or trying to figure out where to go. Yeah. The hell is going on?
They're playing chess, baby, not checkers.
Well, I think the ones playing the third dimension in the chess are the general managers of the National Football League who are like, there's a salary cap, you know, so we got to hold the line on running backs. But hey, when it comes to quarterbacks, it's like they're like Oprah. Look under your seat.
Pay that man his money.
Look, can you see?
That man is money.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This gent is one of our favorites, and I'm not just saying that because he's on hold listening to me introduce him. I tell that to people when he's not listening. Unless this is like Hard Knocks, I'll say things knowing I look good because people are hearing what I'm saying. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
I mean, the people are pushing back on me for that.
You
crazy.
Should. Yeah. Good. That means people are listening to us.
I live in reality. People
okay, like good. It.
Tyrann Mathieu of the New Orleans Saints back here in the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Tyrann?
Rich, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How's life?
Man, life is great, man. Truly blessed, man. So looking forward to year 11.
That's what I was about to say. Is this year 11 for you?
Yeah, man. It flew by.
It sure did. Let's just put it this way. If I had come up to you to the combine where you and Dion were down on the field and I was seeing Dion talking to you and things of that nature, and if I had told you you'd play 11 years in this league, you would have said what to me, Tyrann?
Man, you know what? I'd probably say, how did I do?
Right.
You know, definitely blessed, man. Definitely grateful and fortunate. Came in the league, 10 years ago, and it's been a hell of a ride since, man.
Well, I tell you, 3-time All-Pro safety, 3-time Pro Bowler, and Super Bowl 54 champion. I would have told you that on that field. You'd have said what there through 10 years?
Oh man, I would have been grateful, man. Obviously, I've had a lot of great coaches, throughout my years, and I've had a lot of great defensive coaches as well too. And I played with like some of the best players, of this generation. So from, Patrick Peterson to, J.J. Watt and, obviously Chris Jones. So I've been blessed, man.
What did Dion say to you back then, Tyrann? What did he
well,
say?
Well, I remember Dion visited me when I was in Florida training with Patrick Peterson's dad. Mm-hmm. And, he was always in support of me, right? Like he was always encouraging and, he would always give me these words of advice to, just stay focused and, stay committed to football and, obviously keep God first and, try your best to keep great people around you. So I was always thankful for Dion and, all the encouraging words, that he gives me and he still gives me, to this day.
And a lot of folks are wondering, with him about being real or just putting on an act and coaching is just another vehicle for him. But this is another example of he's always been coaching. It's just now he's doing it with just a whistle around his neck, Tyrann?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always been, that kind of person. Obviously he's self-motivated, right? And I think we all kind of, know that from his playing days. He always believes in himself and, his abilities and what he can do. And but I was always grateful because he always tried to pour that, into me. You know what I mean? And so, I always was grateful, to kind of hear his voice. And, like I said, still to this day, you know, he's still one of those encouraging voices, you know, in my ear.
And I, you know, I always tell truth with you and you with me, and that's why I love having you on, as we have real conversations, Tyrann Mathieu, is when he was pouring it into you, he was pouring it into you, and a lot of people thought it was a waste of time to pour anything into you. Right, Tyrann?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'd probably say, you know, Deion, you know, and, you know, along with Patrick Peterson, you know, I think both of those guys, because I thought they really knew me. Right. And, you know, whereas, you know, on the outside, you know, I think a lot of people can, you know, get caught up in the moniker, right? The honey badger. And, you know, maybe they, you know, saw me tweet something on Twitter. Right. Or maybe they, you know, saw me playing a game and they kind of formed their own perspective of me. Whereas I think with those two guys, you know, we've had a lot of conversations. Right. Like we've been to a lot of dinners together. You know, we've shared a lot of family space. So, you know, he definitely knew, like, the real Tyrann, right? And I think that was encouraging for him to, you know, keep trying to motivate me.
When did things turn for you that something like the way we started our interview, 11th year in the league, Super Bowl ring, multiple Pro Bowls, multiple All-Pro lists, when did things turn for you to allow all of this to happen?
Yeah, well, I think the shift really for me was, you know, obviously not playing my last year, you know, at LSU in 2012, right, and, you know, getting arrested, right, that fall, right, and, you know, having all these expectations, right, and, you know, obviously, you know, having to declare for the draft and, you know, having to move to Florida, right, and, to you know, kind of start working out and training and, you know, be around Pat P. Dad. And so I'd probably say right around that time, right, like as the combine is approaching, you know, I had a lot of tough interviews, you know, during the combine cycle, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, for me to be able to kind of sit in that fire, you know, to be honest with myself, to be honest with other people, you know, I think that was like the moment, you know, or the phase where, you know, things kind of really started to kind of turn a corner for me. And, you know, I think once the Cardinals drafted me, you know, and then being able to kind of play with Pat, you know, and then being in the locker room with, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, Calais Campbell. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I think those were like the three big brothers, you know, I needed, you know, as a 20-year-old. So, you know, I give those guys a lot of credit for, you know, embracing me and, you know, teaching me the game, you know, outside the game.
And now here you are again, entering year 11, Tyrann Mathieu on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, let's talk about the Saints and the expectation level. Let's talk about it. What are they for you going into this division? Brady's gone, this just in, and it does appear this is a wide open division for you guys to take. Tyrann, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I think we are a talented football team. You know, we've added some pieces.
Oh yes.
You know, to the team. You know, this offseason with, you know, Derek Carr and, you know, Jamal Williams and, you know, even some defenders, you know, up front. And so, you know, I think, too, you know, we've added some great coaches, too, you know what I mean, in the back end. So the expectations are high. You know, I think they're always high, you know, especially for all 32 teams. You know, I think everybody's trying to, you know, punch their ticket, you know, to the playoffs and, you know, win their division and, you know, try to make a run for it. But, you know, I think we're definitely excited. You know, we feel like we have all the right pieces. You know, we've been working really, really hard, you know, all spring and even throughout training camp. So, you know, it's all about just kind of, you know, using that momentum, you know, throughout the preseason, throughout training camp and, you know, starting off fast, you know, this season and, you know, finishing strong.
And obviously you had a front row seat, Tyrann, to what the Bucs are kind of going through right now, which is what happens next after the GOAT leaves the quarterback spot. And it does appear that you've landed on Derek Carr now, clearly, and he's there. Yeah. What is he bringing to this equation on that front, Tyrann Mathieu?
Well, he's a great leader. You know, I think he's a great leader for our team. You know, he's a great leader for the offense. You know, a lot of those guys gravitate towards him. You know, you can see those guys before practice, after practice, you know, even in the locker room, right, talking about routes and, you know, how they see things and, so I think all those things are encouraging. You know, I think he's always been a pretty good quarterback, you know, in this league. And, you know, I've had a chance to kind of play against him, you know, throughout my time in KC. And, you know, he used to always give us headaches, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that can definitely, you know, spin the ball and, You know, he's a guy, too, that he's going to find his playmakers, you know, and get those guys the ball and let those guys go to work.
How is Michael Thomas looking on that front? I mean, it's been a minute for him.
Yeah, he's coming along, you know, and I think, you know, what's really encouraging is, you know, he's at practice every day, right? Like, he's one of the first guys out. He's one of the last guys to leave off the field. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still super competitive. And so, you know, he's still a threat. But I think anytime 13 is out there, you know, teams have to account for him. Teams have to respect him. And you know, just wishing him to, you know, obviously stay healthy and, you know, do what he's always done in his league, and you know, which is, you know, really produce. So I think we're all looking forward to, you know, having him back this season and, you know, him, you know, putting his hand in the pile and, you know, helping us win.
What's the size of the chip on Derek Carr's shoulder, Tyron? Give me this. Give me what the adjective you use for the size of the chip on his shoulder here. What do you got?
I mean, simply put, you know, I think it's pretty big. You know, I can remember coming in, you know, in the spring, right? And like he was like the first one in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was working out with the DBs and wide receivers, right? He had a different, you know, spirit, you know, from one that I've seen in the past. You know what I mean? I've played against him, you know, a handful of times, and but he has that look in his eye, man. So I think he's definitely ready to roll this year. And, you know, I think he too knows, you know, he has a lot of playmakers around him. You know, he has a pretty good defense. So, you know, I think he's in a good spot right now.
And Cam Jordan, him signing and basically writing his ticket to finish with the Saints and just play with the Saints. What does he look, I love having him on, and I know he's got a great, you know, voice and a great eye for the camera. But can you take me behind the scenes as to what he does to lead, for you guys to take his example and roll with it? What does he do for you guys?
Yeah, man. I mean, he's like a saint through and through.
Yes,
right?
He is.
He embodies, you know, everything that it means to kind of be, you know, a Saints defender, and you know a person that, you know, helps out a lot in the community, right? So you know, when I think of Cam, you know, obviously he's, you know, the all-time, you know, sack leader, you know, in Saints history, right? I think we all know that. But, you know, me being from New Orleans and, you know, growing up here, you always appreciate guys that, you know, that come to the city and kind of adopt the city as their own, right? And so, you know, he's one of those guys, man. He means well. You know, he's a great teammate. You know, he's a great leader. He's one of the hardest workers, too, you know, on our team.
Tyron Matthew of the New Orleans Saints, a couple minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going to take my shot here. I don't know if you want to wade in on this, but former coach Sean Payton, what do you think of his comments about Nathaniel Hackett? I know this is definitely not your table, but you do know the coach. What did you think about when you heard him say what he said about the guy he is replacing in Denver, Tyron?
I mean, you know, a lot of different things, you know, happen in this league. You know, obviously it was, you know, probably, you know, unnecessary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, Coach Payton has won a lot in his league, right? He's won a ton of games. You know, and I think some things you probably could just, you know, leave alone and not kind of indulge in. So, you know, I saw that he, you know, came back and apologized, you know, for what he said. So I'm pretty sure he understands it.
Right, but it did it sound like something he would say? Does it seem familiar, right? He's got that red ass in him, Tyron, right?
Oh, yeah, like I said, man, he's won a lot, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's won a ton of games in his league, and, you know, I think him, too, you know, probably has a chip on his shoulder, too. So, you know, so, yeah.
All right, now what about you? What size chip shoulder chip do you have going into year 11 here and looking down the road? As you and I are talking in another training camp together.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a chip on my shoulder this year. You know, definitely feel like, you know, I'm a part of a team that could, you know, definitely make a run for it this year, you know, so which is, you know, very, very exciting. You know, kind of got off to a slow start last year, but, you know, found a way to kind of finish strong. So, you know, I have some, you know, some motivation and some confidence in that. So, you know, just looking forward to it, man. Just looking forward to having a great year this year, you know, a healthy season, and, you know, just making those plays that, you know, I'm used to making.
And let's visualize it. What's it going to be like a month from Thursday when you're in the Superdome? Titans are in town, week one, another season, another year for you, year 11. What do you think it's going to be like looking around at your hometown stadium with you wearing the Fleur de Lis on the side of your
helmet? You know, it's going to be electric, man. You know, anytime you get a chance to, you know, play in a Superdome, you know, with these fans, man, you know, they're so spirited, you know, like they're all into it. And so, you know, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be great to, you know, play against Derrick, you know, Henry and, you know, even, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, we'll have our hands full that week, but, you know, I think we'll all be geared up, you know, ready to roll.
Yeah, you stole my last question for you. So it's really loud. Does it get real quiet when Derrick Henry's in the second level coming at you then? does it get real quiet?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's one of those guys, man. You know, he's a special player. Obviously, you know, he's a big back that could, you know, bruise and, you know, punish your defense. But, you know, I mean, he's known to, you know, get in some space, you know, hit you with a stiff arm or outrun a few people. So, you know, you just got to be ready to roll, man. Keep your pads low, take the right angles, and get all 11 hats to the ball.
That Deion Sanders, did he teach you about business decisions back in the day when he was with you?
No, he didn't.
Okay. That's what he referred to as a business decision with Derrick Henry coming at you. I could hear his voice in my head right now. Tyron, thanks for the call. I always cherish our talks, and I'm so excited for you in a year 11 that you're doing it, and you're doing it for your team that you grew up watching. It's so special. Enjoy it. You be well.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate you.
As always, that's Tyron Matthew at Matthew_era on Twitter and all the other socials right here on the program. Year 11. Dude.
That's crazy.
Without a doubt at his combine, if I looked at every evaluator, that guy's going to play an 11th season in the NFL, they'd be like,
no chance.
Yeah, right.
0% would have said
that. I'm telling you. At that combine, we're in the booth. I bet you it had to be. It's obviously Mayock and I. And we looked down. Deion would go down to the field as part of our coverage and stroll into the group of cornerbacks. And usually that would be about 50 to 60 every year. And it still is at the combine. And it would be like the Godfather strolling in. And everyone would surround him. And they wanted a piece of him. And he kept telling us from down in the field, do not sleep on Tyron Matthew. Somebody should give this kid a chance. That's what he was saying on the broadcast all the time. And, you know, obviously he had more flags than an amusement park. And there was a lot of conversation about his talent and what he would do in the NFL. And you trust him. The Cardinals said yes. And he strolls in. That's Patrick Peterson, whose dad he was working out with. And Larry Fitzgerald and Calais Campbell. Walter Payton, men of the year in their own rights. And now look at him. Saints, where are they in your little gambling sights?
I don't know what that means. I take offense to that.
Where are they? Are they the favorites to win this division? Because you know, one team starting a rookie, right? One team, we just had an hour number one, Desmond Ridder talking about, sweetheart of a guy talking about haters. You know, that nobody believes he can do it. And I believe nobody might be those who hop on little gambling sites. And then, hold on. You believe Kyle Trask is starting. By the way, there is news on that. Baker Mayfield starting the first preseason game. Kyle Trask, the second preseason game against the Jets, which will be a Hard Knocks production. So we'll be seeing some of that on HBO and Max in a couple weeks right here on Roku. And then you have the Saints. Have I tap danced long enough for you to collect the information I'm looking for?
Oh, yeah. Saints, your favorite. They're plus 130. Falcons.
What does that mean?
That means you bet $100. Well, bet $10, you'd win 13 if they win the division.
That doesn't sound very good.
A little better than even.
Okay.
I mean, it's Falcons are plus 210. Panthers plus 360, Bucks plus 750 or 800, depending on you shop around for a good price.
So who's in last place?
The Bucks, obviously.
Why is that obvious to
people?
Because
they stink.
No, they don't. Last year they stunk. Last year they, well, they didn't stink.
They won the division.
Hey, man, I saw the team in Munich. I don't understand it.
You're just too nice.
I'm not too nice.
You're too nice. They stink.
Hey, you tell
they
me.
They have no quarterback.
Who has?
Todd Bowles is probably not going to be the coach in 2024.
Best wide receiver tandem in the NFC South go.
In the NFC South?
Best wide receiver tandem Great. In the NFC South go.
Who cares if they can't get the ball?
Which running backs in the NFC South did well last year? Algier, obviously, you got Bijan Robinson.
1,000 yards.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, Alvin Kamara is going to miss the first three games, but
right.
He's still the best running back in that division.
Miles Sanders is in Carolina. That's
Miles
not
Sanders
too bad.
Miles Sanders is going to have a good season.
Okay, Rashad White.
See if he can carry the workload.
He was. Let's see if we can do it. I'm giving you the path here to them not being in dead DFL. Yeah. Devin White, Levante David.
They're a clear.
Shaq Barrett.
They are clearly fourth.
Tristan Wirfs. These aren't slouches, pal. These are
tremendous
Super
slouches.
Bowl ring wearing individuals.
So are lots
Got
of
it.
People.
That back end of that defense, they didn't just disappear, did they? They didn't disappear, did they? The back end of that defense did not disappear in Tampa, correct?
You've okay. gone from Jets cheerleader to Bucks cheerleader.
No, but I have not. I'm just pushing that they're, you know, when you say obviously they're in last, and those on the gambling sites concur. Now the Saints, like Michael Thomas, if can't guard Mike is can't guard Mike, and Kamara comes back with fresh legs, and Derek Carr's got that massive chip on the shoulder saying, I'll show you.
I mean, Derek Carr's the best quarterback. They should be
the favorites. I think you could make the case that Derek Carr, without a doubt, is the best quarterback in that division. Certainly since you've got two first-time starters. Two first-time week one starters. You might have three if Kyle Trask, in your mind, beats out Baker. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Hey, this is what happens when you sideline a popular announcer for spitting facts. Unbelievable what happened last night in Camden Yards. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show with Charles Woodson next on our guest list.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Real quick, do you want to ask a Method Man before he goes your question that you ask everybody about my hometown?
No. I give you grief. Okay, look, now when people say, hey, I'm going to visit New York City,
right.
They don't mean visit Staten Island. So do you think Staten Island is really part of New York City?
You know what? I just went through this with somebody. I definitely went through this with somebody on Please. Twitter, and they were like, you know, that's not even really New York. One of the five boroughs, okay? See,
yeah, it's not a vacation destination of New York City. No okay. one's going to Staten Island,
I get
you
it.
Know what I'm saying?
But if you check, for one, Staten Island is the highest point on the eastern seaboard,
True.
First of all.
Okay.
And Total. Second, we have the most, well, let's put it this way, date night, Staten Island is tops to go for date night because we have the most restaurants
yeah.
in New York City.
That's right.
Holler at your boy. Yeah.
Yes. It's about food and love.
Food
Staten
love.
Island.
Oh, and football, because right. Curtis Warriors won the whole thing last year. Okay, 12-0. Went to the big one.
That's right.
Won that game at Yankee Stadium.
Brought the title home to New York City.
Yes.
I stand corrected.
And I won my fantasy football yesterday.
Oh, really?
A lot.
Congratulations.
A lot.
What's the name of your fantasy football team?
Supreme Clientele.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty
Supreme
cool.
Clientele took it down.
Oh.
By the way, that whole Staten Island chat could not have gone any better than the way I Holler at your boy.
That's my man right there.
That's it, Method Man. Showing up on last night's Hard Knocks as well. Funny. Fantastic. That was a lot of fun. You look good. You look young in that video right there, Chris.
I bet you it was 6 years ago.
I know. Coming up.
You pre-baby.
Back here on our show. Back here with our Rich Eisen Show radio feed. Charles Woodson's going to be joining us shortly on the program. We spoke at length yesterday about Orioles announcer Kevin Brown, according to Awful Announcing, and The Athletic, I think, did a story on it. And a lot of online social media confirmation, and I say that obviously with the grain of salt that needs to be taken, but it does appear that the Orioles suspended from television and then also now from radio for the time being, and it does appear it's possible the time being ends this week. And that would be good for the Orioles to put Kevin Brown back on the air, because they apparently removed him from the broadcast booth because he was telling the truth about the history of the Orioles' problems in recent years against the Tampa Bay Rays. Back on July the 23rd, just talking about how the Orioles were 0-15-1 in their last 16 series against the Tampa Bay Rays, and apparently somebody in management didn't like that and took him off the air because of it. There, but for the grace of God, go any of us announcers, any of us people who talk into a microphone, upsetting someone in management by telling a fact. Ridiculous. And what they did for the moment, because this won't be discussed in October when the Orioles make it. And congratulations to the fans. They're going to make it. This won't be a discussion then, but now it is. Mm-hmm. And for the moment, this renaissance season for the Orioles and their fans at this moment in time is about the fans' fury at ownership. This happened last night. And it's funny. Did you say this, TJ? Are you, Chris, yesterday saying maybe they'll mention it on the TBS broadcast tonight? Because the Orioles and the Astros, somebody called in about that. The Orioles and the Astros played on TBS last night. Yeah. And the reason why is because the Astros coming into the season, a lot of folks thought, favorites to win the American League again. And they look pretty damn good again as they came back on the all-star closer of the Orioles, Felix Bautista, last night, who blew the save. Astros won the game in Baltimore. But all everybody's talking about today is the fans having a moment chanting Kevin Brown's name during the broadcast last night, to the point where Brian Anderson, play-by-play man, had to actually address it.
And the chants of free Kevin Brown raining down, the Orioles television play-by-play announcer. I love this fan base standing behind their announcer.
Yeah. And we folks who announce for a living appreciate that. That means you appreciate the work that we men and women do. Remember how I flipped out when the Oscars are like, we don't need a host?
Yeah.
Hosts are people too. You know, we perform a role. And obviously, I know we could all go Jim Irsay on it, that the sports and the announcing and broadcasting world will go on after we are long gone.
True,
but it means a lot. It means a lot. Certainly if somebody is sat for telling the truth about just facts. Like, and if you're not allowed to talk about the past or about, you know, players that used to play for the Orioles, I mean, does that mean Kevin Brown can't have Jim Palmer as his broadcast mate? Or no, that was when the Orioles were good. I'm sorry. So now that the Orioles are good again, like, congratulations, Orioles management. You have done it. You have provided the fan base with the team they've wanted. Young, good, hungry. Up on Framber Valdez, 6-2 in the seventh to go for your 71st win on the season. And I know you didn't get it because of the bullpen. But you're up by four on national television on the Astros, and your fans can't revel in it because they're chanting about your stupid decision, pig-headed decision. So while you're winning and having a great moment, we're talking about how bad you used to be because of how bad you are in the present with the decision you made on your announcer. Congratulations. Great job. Too enthusiastic. Thumbs up. That's sarcastic.
No Brady Anderson mentions, Rich.
No, I can't do it. No Palmeiro. Don't even bring up Kevin Mayer.
Jeffrey Mayer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Cal Ripken. No, but no, but these are good things. Jeffrey Mayer is not. Yeah. Kevin Mayer. I don't know where I went with that one. No, you get, no Jeffrey Mayer.
No Jeffrey Mayer.
I mean, honestly, I don't get it. So bring the guy back. Just end this nonsense. This won't be an issue when the Orioles make the playoffs. Yeah. And they're good. And they can play very well. And they are good.
They can win the American League for sure.
They go in the World Series. They can win the World Series. You know?
No Ben McDonald.
I mean, Ray they Olson. Are currently three up in the loss on the Rays. Don't talk about how the Rays are good or what they've done against the Orioles in the past. It's so moronic. Angels won last night. Must be the cat food.
First time since the trade deadline.
Isn't that credible? They hold on to Ohtani, go home. Well, I mean, did they lose? That's right. They lost their last game in Atlanta, and then they lost everything up at home until last night. And Ohtani can, you know, pitch him to a second straight win. So, I mean, right now I'm looking up. Schaap has Al Michaels outside the lines talking about Kevin Brown and the Orioles.
Oh, amazing
decision. It's just how more can ownership shoot themselves in the foot? The answer is, look at Baltimore. So ridiculous.
Reggie Jackson played for the Orioles?
Yeah.
For a hot minute.
I just Googled.
What is that? Are you doing the Immaculate Grid during during Showtime?
I Googled obscure Baltimore Orioles since I just wanted to name guys. Kevin Brown played for the Orioles.
Oh, different Kevin Brown. Honestly, when this first happened, and I just like Kevin Brown suspended, I'm like, is that the pitcher who's doing games for the Orioles? No, that's right. The play-by-play guy named Kevin Brown. I get it. Let me click on the video, and then just I feel for the guy that he must have stepped on a rake or worse, said something that he's going to have to apologize for and hope he can come back from, and all he talked about was facts.
Numbers.
Numbers and facts supported graphically by a production team that made a collective choice to talk about this. And this was the problems in the past about the Orioles and how they're about to overcome them. And somebody sitting at home saying, why are we lingering on the negative? Like you're trying to erase the past of your inabilities to put a winning team on the field. Is it really about you? I can't imagine somebody sitting at home and is just living in their echo chamber so significantly that they can't get past their own issues and make it now about an announcer telling the truth, so they've got to suspend him? All right.
Billy Ripken.
Good one.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yes, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.